would you like to reserve some rebuttal time?
5 minutes.
Certainly.
Fred Smith for Harvey Shrewsbury. The great divide in this case is what weight to be given to Dr. Vasek's, the treating physician's, uncontradicted medical evidence. Mr. Shrewsbury believes that evidence is relevant on the issue of whether or not the work required of him in placing the angle iron pieces caused his herniated disc. The deputy commissioner did not even mention that evidence. The commission mentioned the evidence, but gave it no weight. We find the first time we find a legal rationale for not considering that evidence is with the reply brief of the appellant here, in which the appellant's appellee says this evidence is irrelevant. That's at page 15 and 16 of their brief. This evidence, the evidence of the claimant's treating physician with respect to an injury, according to the appellee's argument, is irrelevant because their view of the four-prong test is that the first one, which is proof of the incident, requires that the claimant, without reliance and without input from medical testimony, must through his or her own testimony establish the source of the pain and the mechanism of injury without reliance on the claimant's doctor.
Counsel, it seems this case turns on whether or not there was proof of an identifiable incident that occurred at some reasonable definite time that caused your client to suffer the injury that was sustained. And it appears, and please help me through this if you can, that the commission, from a factual standpoint, essentially made the determination that evidence was not proven by your client.
And the error was not to give weight to the claimant's medical evidence. The authority is clear from this court and the Supreme Court that the claimant's medical evidence must be weighed.
But in terms of medical evidence, if there's an inaccuracy to the history or it's not complete, the commission can assign a different weight to that. Would you agree?
It can, but in this case, Your Honor, the history Mr. Shrewsbury gave Dr. Vasek appears at pages 500 to 502 of the appendix. And in the commission's opinion, they make a casual comment, a passing comment, about some unidentified disparity. But they do not identify any material disparity in the history that was given Dr. Vasek and his testimony in the proceedings, nor do they give any rationale, legal rationale, for not giving that uncontradicted testimony weight.
But arguably, I guess from the appellee's point of view, the claimant in this case testifies about his injury when he's walking away and not immediately after placing the iron anvil down. And could that impact in terms of the weight that's given by the commission to the medical testimony?
No.
In your view?
In my view, no. For this reason. You see, Mr. Shrewsbury was not required under the Act to instantaneously identify his injury. The appellee talks about Mr. Shrewsbury saying his injury occurred while he was merely standing. That's when he experienced pain shortly after he completed the activity of placing several pieces of angle iron, bending down and raising up. So what the commission did was focus on what the experience of pain while he was standing, out of context of the entire work project that was ongoing that morning. Mr. Shrewsbury just says, I felt a very sharp pain in my foot. He was not required to understand the pathophysiology of a disc herniation. He was entitled to get medical care and a full review of his history to understand his history. But the appellee says, and the commission, and the deputy commissioner say, that evidence is irrelevant to the consideration of whether or not Mr. Shrewsbury experienced an injury as a consequence of his work-required activities. The work-required activities here was placing the angle iron. And his treating physician, whose qualifications have not been challenged, whose methodology has not been challenged, whose opinion has not been challenged in any respect, says that job-required activity caused Mr. Shrewsbury's herniated disc. And that evidence is uncontradicted. And there's no dispute about what, in fact, the behavior was on that morning of October 7th on the roof.
Counsel, let me ask you this. If the reason for your client's injury, and just by way of hypothetical, I'm not saying this is necessarily the case here, was unexplained. In other words, we can't figure out what happened. We know that your client was hurt. We know that he was on the job. We know that he was doing something consistent with his job responsibilities. But we can't pinpoint what happened. The whole incident is unexplained. Where does that leave the commission? And then where does that leave us as far as our responsibility under the standard of review?
Well, of course, if there's no explanation for the cause or the mechanism of injury, there is no recovery. But that's not the case here, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
We have the medical evidence, and the authority is clear that medical evidence must be weighed, and under the Stansel case, in fact, this court has ruled the testimony of the relatedness of injury to the job requirements, the work required activity, can be dispositive of the issue of the actual risk test. And that's exactly what
you're making a very strong argument. I appreciate that argument, but where do you believe the commission, as the ultimate body that resolves these kinds of things, missed the point?
They didn't apply the test. They didn't apply the actual risk test properly.
Okay.
And they didn't apply the four-prong test. They didn't apply either test properly under the decision of this court and the Supreme Court. Interestingly, and I'll conclude since I'm about to be out of time, the defendant cites the Busey case for the proposition that Mr. Shrewsbury's proof must be limited to his account. Of course, Mr. Shrewsbury's account at the time, that morning of October 2nd, did not have the benefit of medical input and review of what happened to him or any analysis of his condition or status. So the appellee takes the position under Busey that Mr. Shrewsbury is limited to what his testimony and therefore he loses. Well, interestingly, in the Busey case, Miss Busey went to Golden Corral and had some bad beef, and she sued Golden Corral because she got sick. And
this is not an indictment of Golden Corral.
No, it's a reported case. I eat Golden Corral, no problem, Golden Corral. But she sued because she got sick. She had to be hospitalized, had fluids. And when she sued, the trial court would not accept her treating physician's testimony as an expert about her sickness and what would have caused the sickness. Court of Appeals, I don't know whether it's a Supreme Court or your court, but the appellate court said, wait a minute, the treating physician's testimony is relevant and can be used to prove causation. So why is it that this claimant, this workers' comp claimant under the Virginia Workers' Comp Act, cannot have the benefit of this treating physician's testimony? What the appellee is asking this court to do here is bridge way, way, way too far. That approach to this case, and that's a necessary consequence of affirming of this decision of the commission, that a claimant's reliable, unchallenged, undisputed medical evidence of causation is irrelevant and will not be considered. That's a bridge too far, and it's totally contrary to the law applicable in this state. And for these reasons, I would respectfully request the court to reverse the commission and find for Mr. Shrewsbury and enter an award in his behalf.
Thank you. Let's start out with the Busey case, and your opponent colleague makes a very good point about we cannot restrict a claimant or a plaintiff to what he or she says right after the accident or the incident. That's unfair, and that's not an expectation. A person hasn't had the benefit of medical care. They haven't had the benefit of a medical opinion, and so therefore it's unfair to suggest that a claimant can only rise to the level of his own testimony and pursue that premise in a vacuum. What would be your response to that?
Well, Your Honor, I think those would be very good points were the facts limited to the idea that we were trying to hold the claimant to his very initial statements, which were then substantially changed over a course of time.
I think it was pretty consistent. He said the same things to the insurance adjuster that he said in his deposition, that he said in his testimony.
That's correct. And I think that is why the test that we cited as Bussey, you could cite back to Massey v. Firmstone and go back to the 1950s that the Supreme Court of Virginia has been applying, the test that your case can't go any higher than your own testimony.
But counsel, in reference to Massey v. Firmstone, the principle of that case is exactly what you said, that you can't rise any higher, that the plaintiff can't rise any higher than their own testimony. But in this particular case, I think appellant's point of view is that the medical testimony is simply augmented by what the claimant says. The claimant's relating sort of the pain they felt and when he felt it, but that in and of itself is not dispositive. It doesn't preclude him from being able to link it medically, because that's what the doctor's for. That's the relevancy of the medical testimony.
Relevancy of the medical testimony has historically been in corroboration with the claimant's testimony. Those medical histories are admitted as hearsay in the commission and only in the commission because of their corroborative value to what the claimant is saying. When you have a claimant testifying very, very specifically, I felt no pain when I'm placing the angle iron at all, and I use the word only, it was only as I got up that I felt the pain. And then you have Dr. Vasek, appellant's implication here is that Dr. Vasek is somehow saying otherwise, that he's saying, oh no, the pain came from placing the angle iron. Then Dr. Vasek, if he's contradicting the claimant's testimony, then I think the rule in Massey v. Firmstone would apply. I think that the claimant can't be rescued from his own deficient testimony by a doctor's opinion to the contrary. At any rate, I think it's very instructive to point out that if I think I heard quite clearly from the appellant, his argument is that the commission weighed the evidence improperly, then we're here on a credible evidence standard. We're not here on a de novo review. I think that's important for the court to apply the standard that the appellant has asked for. He said that the commission made an error in weighing, I apologize, Judge, in weighing mental evidence.
Well, no. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but why is this not just a simple causation case?
Well, why is it not a simple causation case? I guess these are the sorts of cases where these issues can so easily be conflated. We have these four-pronged tests where you have to prove an identifiable incident. Was there an identifiable incident? I think perhaps there was more time spent deciding that issue than may have been necessary because the claimant said at some point, was there an itch? No, not really. He had said that, and he agreed that he'd said that, and he agreed that that was true.
Is causation a factual issue?
Well, causation is a factual issue.
Then who is the determiner of the facts?
With regard to causation, I mean, the determiner of the facts is the commission.
The commission
weighs the evidence. Where do they get those facts from? They do get those facts from the medical evidence as well as the
Then what's the standard here for us to review it?
If the commission has made a decision that is based on credible evidence, the Court of Appeals is not at liberty to reverse there.
But whenever we, you know, it goes back to law school, and whenever you hear the causation test articulated, it's sort of like a but-for. This happened because of this. And it seems, and you know, maybe I'm naive, but it seems to me that if a person is not injured and they're performing something that is job-related, and after they perform that job-related function, they're injured, seems to me that there's at least some suggestion of causation, that the thing that caused them to be injured was related to what they were doing in their work, if there was not some intervening or superseding cause.
Well, and Judge, that's absolutely true. And that's why there are other prongs. The arising out of test is not a test of causation in the same sense. It is the arising out of the test that says, did a specific, a risk specific to the employment cause that, rather than a risk that's general to the community.
So you would maintain that this case is more analogous to the walking around cases, as I like to say. It's nothing that's an inherent risk of your job by simply walking from one place to another while you're on the job.
Well, there's been a lot of use of the word uncontradicted here. There's a great deal of uncontradicted testimony from the claimant that the pain occurred when he was standing up with nothing in his hand from a flat roof. Those are the facts of when the pain occurred. And that is an inquiry that the commission and the appellate courts have been following as being instructive of when and how did the injury occur, since, as far as I can recall, so since workers' compensation has existed. We look to when did the pain happen to figure out what caused the pain to occur. And in this case, the uncontradicted testimony is I was standing up on a flat roof with nothing in my hand.
Counsel, did Dr. Vasek believe, or was he under some premise that the pain started when he was bending down and placing the angle iron down?
In point of fact, Dr. Vasek was given that history in November of 2017, which is again, I don't think the Court of Appeals needs to reach an issue of weight of evidence if the Court of Appeals finds that there is credible evidence, but in weighing medical evidence, there's consistent authority which says that if a medical provider's opinion is premised on an incomplete or unclear history, then that can discount the weight of that opinion. And in this case, yes, Dr. Vasek's first information in this was, I injured my leg when I was squatting down to place ankle iron. That has, of course, a significant factor in that if it occurred while he was burdened with the one end of a 60-pound ankle iron and making that motion down to a squat, I think the facts are more compelling in the favor of finding compensability. But that's not the case.
Refresh my recollection here. This was a 3-0 commission decision.
That's correct. In fact, Commissioner Marshall wrote the opinion. And in similar instances, Commissioner Marshall has not been afraid to dissent say, you know, that there are cases out there that, you know, can argue causation or can argue arising out of differently. He chose to write this opinion and say that there was not enough evidence to show any evidence to show that the injury arose out of the employment. This was a simple act of standing up on a flat surface with nothing in his hands. And without a risk specific to the employment, you cannot satisfy the arising out of prong. And the fact that Dr. Vasek expressed an opinion as to what happened is, I think, irrelevant. When they use the word irrelevant, Dr. Vasek wasn't there, and the idea that he can provide testimony as to what happened is not really the purpose of having his evidence come in. His evidence comes in to say, okay, we have this injury. If the commission has made a decision as to its work relatedness, then is this herniated disc in the back related?
He's not
to
there
that?
To talk about the circumstances. He's there to talk about the physiology.
That is correct, and that is a matter within his personal knowledge and expertise. Whereas what occurred on that roof is not. And I think with regard to those things, obviously Dr. Vasek's opinion in being internally inconsistent, or the history is being internally inconsistent. It's hard to call his opinion uncontradicted when there are other providers who are relating histories given from the claimant that say, you know, there was no trauma, that there was a 1 week history of leg pain that would, I guess, or weeks extending prior to the injury itself. There are certainly contradictions within the medical evidence. There are certainly contradictions within claimant's own testimony was that he was performing a simple act of standing with nothing in his hands on a flat surface. And that is black letter, not arising out of the employment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In Grove, this court pointed out that when the pipe fitter was either bending to get the pipe or coming up for bending the pipe, or he had the pipe in his hand or he didn't have his pipe in the hand, that was all irrelevant. The test is, did the work-related activity, however it was described, cause his herniated disc? This court said yes. Now, in this case, Dr. Vasek had his history from Mr. Shrewsbury. Dr. Vasek also had the testimony in deposition from Mr. Kreitz and Mr. Shrewsbury. And he was asked, based on all of that, whether or not the work-required activity of placing those angle iron pieces caused a sudden mechanical change in Mr. Shrewsbury's back herniated disc, and he said yes, and he goes on to say that the manifestation of herniated disc was the pain in the foot.
But in Groves, the Supreme Court made a point of saying that the activity that Groves was engaging in was peculiar to the employment.
Your Honor, that's the activity of placing the angle iron was peculiar to the employment of Mr. Shrewsbury.
But the testimony from your client, from the claimant, is that the pain or discomfort didn't come at the time he placed the angle iron, but in fact when he was walking away. Why isn't this more in keeping with Ellis?
Because, well, first of all, with respect to it is undisputed that pain in the herniated disc can manifest as pain in the foot. And it can manifest fairly shortly after the disc herniation. That's the uncontradicted testimony of Dr. Vasek. With regard to Ellis, critical in Ellis is, the footnote in this court's opinion in Ellis is this, there was inadequate evidence to establish that Mr. Ellis's moving those trays was required by his job. In other words, had Mr. Ellis had the job, for instance, of bussing all the tables in that cafeteria and removing trays, and had that been his required job activity, then his back injury would have been compensable. The difference between the two is Mr. Shrewsbury's placing the angle iron was clearly job-related activity, and his treating physician says that at job-required activity caused his herniated disc. That's the uncontradicted evidence in this case. It clearly meets the requirements of the four-prong test. It clearly establishes that a risk of work, something that Mr. Shrewsbury was required to do, caused him injury. I respectfully submit there's no other reasonable conclusion that can be drawn from this record. Yes, you can isolate and ignore everything else that happened on the morning of October 2nd, except the fact that Mr. Shrewsbury was standing up when he felt pain in his foot. But there is no evidence to the contrary that pain in his foot was not a herniated disc. If the appellees had doubts that this pathophysiology of this herniation, they had every right to discuss that with Dr. Vasek in deposition. They had every right to get some contrary medical evidence, but they did not. And the undisputed evidence in this case establishes an injury by accident, and Mr. Shrewsbury is entitled to a ruling in that respect. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll come down and greet counsel.